Track 15.
Exam Folder 5, Paper 3, Part 2, Exercise 5. You will hear part of a talk about advertising jingles. For questions 1 to 10, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds to look at Part 2.
Today I'm going to consider the history of the commercial jingle. So, first of all, what is it? Well, it's a type of slogan that is set to music. It could be very simple. For example, just a company name, if that's the most important message to get across. Jingles have been in existence since the birth of commercial radio in the USA in the 1920s. It is generally believed that the modern commercial jingle took off on Christmas Eve 1926, when a group of four singers was heard performing a jingle for a breakfast cereal. The product in question had not been selling well, but sales increased noticeably after the broadcast. In the early 1930s, listening to the radio was very popular in the States. There was no television then, of course. The rules on advertising did not permit the direct promotion of products during peak listening hours. The jingle was a clever way round this problem, and so advertisers started using them a lot. For example, one long-running radio series called The Adventures of the Jenkins Family began with a short rhyming jingle for a dessert. Interestingly, this product was the first of its type to be marketed in the United States. And the catchy rhyme made a big impact on the public. In the 1950s, jingles became more sophisticated, and famous songwriters were often signed up to write them. But by the 1980s, the public had grown tired of listening to jingles like these. Advertisers had to look for something else, and they turned to pop songs. In 1987, the Beatles' tune Revolution was chosen for a Nike shoe campaign, and this marked a revolution in advertising too. Showing a good product was simply not enough any longer. To be successful, a commercial now had to represent a whole lifestyle, which is essentially where we are today. Drawing on the shared cultural experience of music has become the most effective way to sell a product. And with the record industry losing money because of downloading, advertising companies have been very welcome business partners. Psychologists who study the effects of music on the brain have found that music with a strong emotional connection to the listener is more memorable. And this has become an important area of research at one American university. Apparently, some songs contain a feature called an earworm. The term comes from a German word. An earworm is a tiny piece of music of between 15 and 30 seconds that gets stuck in your head and tends to repeat itself. Popular examples include Queen's anthem We Will Rock You and the Mission Impossible theme tune. The world of advertising is excited by the possibilities here, so we can expect our heads to be full of earworms before too long.
Now you will hear part two again.
Today I'm going to consider the history of the commercial jingle. So, first of all, what is it? Well, it's a type of slogan that is set to music. It could be very simple. For example, just a company name, if that's the most important message to get across. Jingles have been in existence since the birth of commercial radio in the USA in the 1920s. It is generally believed that the modern commercial jingle took off on Christmas Eve 1926, when a group of four singers was heard performing a jingle for a breakfast cereal. The product in question had not been selling well, but sales increased noticeably after the broadcast. In the early 1930s, listening to the radio was very popular in the States. There was no television then, of course. The rules on advertising did not permit the direct promotion of products during peak listening hours. The jingle was a clever way round this problem, and so advertisers started using them a lot. For example, one long-running radio series called The Adventures of the Jenkins Family began with a short rhyming jingle for a dessert. Interestingly, this product was the first of its type to be marketed in the United States, and the catchy rhyme made a big impact on the public. In the 1950s, jingles became more sophisticated, and famous songwriters were often signed up to write them. But by the 1980s, the public had grown tired of listening to jingles like these. Advertisers had to look for something else, and they turned to pop songs. In 1987, the Beatles' tune Revolution was chosen for a Nike shoe campaign, and this marked a revolution in advertising too. Showing a good product was simply not enough any longer. To be successful, a commercial now had to represent a whole lifestyle, which is essentially where we are today. Drawing on the shared cultural experience of music has become the most effective way to sell a product, and with the record industry losing money because of downloading, advertising companies have been very welcome business partners. Psychologists who study the effects of music on the brain have found that music with a strong emotional connection to the listener is more memorable. And this has become an important area of research at one American university. Apparently, some songs contain a feature called an earworm. The term comes from a German word. An earworm is a tiny piece of music of between 15 and 30 seconds that gets stuck in your head and tends to repeat itself. Popular examples include Queen's anthem We Will Rock You and the Mission Impossible theme tune. The world of advertising is excited by the possibilities here, so we can expect our heads to be full of earworms before too long.